I am unashamed. What about you?
So I'm sitting there in the duck blind, and I'm monitoring, everybody monitors their shooting skills, especially as each passing year comes along. So I'm monitoring my shooting skills, and I'm thinking, you know, there was a time when I would have never missed that duck. And the day that kicked something into high gear was when I emptied my gun three times during the morning. It was early in the morning.
So this is nine shot. This is three times three.
This is three times three. This okay. is boom, boom, boom with ducks in range and none yeah. of them fall.
You know what the worst part of that was? Is me and Chad were in another blind, but we were watching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We could see y'all.
You had an audience.
So yeah. I'd already come to a conclusion. I could be watching television and I could take this hand and put it over my right eye and the biggest writing there is, you know, the headline, couldn't even see that. So I'm looking with my left eye, trying to just see what I'm seeing, and it's everything is a blur, everything. Well, you take a foggy morning, daylight in the morning, you're in a duck blind, and your left eye, you can't see from here to that wall right there.
Yeah, it's just like a depth perception. Plus, you got to realize how far they are, your lead.
Sure. Oh, so I'm sitting there. So during the duck season, the further it went, I said, okay, I didn't hit 73 here, and I'm old age has crept in. So I said, I told Miss Kay, I said, I got back from that hunt where I missed the three time, boom, 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 nothing, boom, 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 nothing, boom, 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 nothing. You know, I see a lot of other individuals go to the duck blind. That's the way they shoot.
I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll admit
so it. I said, well, I said, I've come to a conclusion, Miss Kay. I said, get a hold of the eye people. And I said, I need to have my eye looked at. My left eye.
The eye people.
What's so crazy is
the guy had told me about 5-6 years ago, you have a cataract in your left eye. He said, we'll have to watch that.
At some point, it'll get bad.
Some point.
You can't watch it because you can't see it.
Yeah.
How would you watch it?
It?
So anyway, I'm a one-eyed man in a duck blind.
And one
almost
arm.
As good as the younger bucks with two eyes. But I'm sitting here with one eye doing pretty good, but yeah. not good as I ought to be doing. So I said, book it for 3 days after duck season. Duck season ends, and I said, okay, now let's check out our shooting skills on how to fix it. So I go see the eye man, and he says, yeah, he recommended someone else to do the surgery. So they take your lens out because it gets cloudy. The reason everything was cloudy is my lens is cloudy. It's so they take that out and replace it. What was amazing is they get you ready in 2 or 3 days for the ordeal. You go in there about 7:30 in the morning, and they go to prepping you. And you get out there, you know, they gave me a notice. They said, Mr. Robinson, we want to verify something. We noticed that you said you are on no medication. She said, we mean, you know, you need to tell us what few, you know, medication you have.
You got something going.
No, I'm not being medicated. They said, you take no pills? I said, zero. They're like, well. They said, well, how old are you? I said, 73. And they said, and you take no medicine for anything? I said, that's correct. I said, so what do you got? You got something lined up for me here? You fix to pour something down me? She said, all you have to take is these three right before the eye man comes in. So listen, I now know why I don't take medicine, because I looked in a little, she handed me a little bitty cup. And I looked down there, and it was three pills in there. She said, take those. And she had another little cup. She said, swallow them with this. So I'm like, what does this do? She said, well, it will relax you. I said, okay, here we go. Relaxation is on its way. I popped them three, and let me tell you something. And I washed them down, and I now know why I don't use pills. Because within about 10 minutes, I was in a stage to where you're awake and sound asleep at the same time. I'm like a dream. I know I'm awake, but I can't move my. I'm like, whatever's in that cup, I now know why people will go to great lengths to find some of it and give them 5 gallons of it. Because I said, good night, a living.
I wonder what it was.
I have no idea, but I don't want to ever go back down that road again.
I don't know how they come up with this stuff. So I'm sitting there,
and the guy, I see the guy coming. He's got a knife in his hand, and I'm just looking up at him.
You don't even care.
But I'm just, so I said, now I know why I don't get on this junk car. I go, man.
Yeah.
So he takes it out, and it's like light watching a light show, like
in your
colors,
eye,
brilliant colors, and I can feel that he's working in.
You were like on a psychedelic. Oh, you were going back to the late.
He's
60s.
Working on my.
What's
eye?
Weird is this happened? What, 3 days ago?
20 yeah. 20 minutes. That guy says, "Mr. Robinson, you're good to go." And I said, So I go in there.
I thought
there.
You would at least
I'm
have
still,
a.
I'm still aware. And look, through that entire process, they're cutting into your eyeball through that entire process. And I'm back there after it's over in 20 minutes once he started walking up there with a knife. I'm sitting there, and they say, well, they unhook me. They got the drip coming in me. They get all that stuff off of me. And old Dan was there with me. You know, I said, Dan, I can't see too well because I'm woozy. So Dan drives me back here.
Well, I'm glad you didn't try to drive.
Look, at no time did I ever feel not even a slight twinge of pain. There was absolutely zero. I thought, Well,
that's weird.
Within a couple of hours, those pills have worn off, and I've been sitting
still
in
no seat. Pain.
No pain.
I don't understand
zero.
Why they didn't give you a patch or whatever. I mean, they just said
you don't even need
get.
A patch.
Well, you said a knife. Was it a laser?
I say
or
knife.
No?
I just could see he had something metal. He had a piece of metal in his hand.
I think it was a knife.
Well, I don't know what it was, but
it was probably.
How do you get into a man's eye and take the one lens out and put another one in there, Jay? You got to cut it somewhere.
I don't think I'd use a knife. I'm just saying. I'm not a doctor.
Would that know?
Whatever it was,
he was on a psychedelic trip.
But what I'm saying is,
what I'm saying, the thing
I got back, and but then so I go in at 7:30. I'm out by 12 after the prep, staying, and all that. I still had the same shoes on I started with. I'm in my britches here, so I didn't have to disrobe and get under a sheet.
Oh.
So I'm just sitting back, leaning back. He does the deal. I stagger out of there, you know, and get back in the rig. We get home, and 2 or 3 hours later, I had to put drops in every 3 to 4 hours ever since then for about, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, that's another reason why I wasn't hurting. There's numbing.
Yeah, they're numbing your eye, Phil. Yeah.
I guess
now it's making sense.
But anyway, so I've just been putting drops in my eye every 3 hours for the last 3 days. So here it is Thursday.
Can you see?
It's
good.
Ha! I'm looking here at my Bible, and the guy said, when we get done, he said, instead of you looking like this, look. Now, see if I put it right here, close. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Instead of like this, he said, he took a pay, and he said, you'll do like this. You'll do like this. Well, from here, a little blurry, here, whoop, all clears up. He said, you'll be moving your Bible away from you just a little bit to read it instead of bringing it towards you.
Right.
I said, you are kidding. He said, no.
Well, you should have done this a long time ago.
So now I went from a one-eyed man to now I would say 20/20.
The medical technology has really just,
what are you talking about?
I
thought they had like a patch.
Well, yeah, we're going to do the podcast. I was like, well, didn't Phil just have eye surgery? And you're like, oh, no, he's good to go.
He's ready to get out of the house.
3 days ago I had eye surgery. Look, the dude fixed it. And the next day on Tuesday, he said, come back up here. I want to look at it the next day. I thought, really? So I go back up there. He goes in there and he looks at it. He said, everything looks good. And he told me to come back about one more time. So he started monitoring it. I'm just being careful not to get in the woods, tearing down through the four wheeler with limbs hitting the upside head. So yeah. I'm as they say,
which is what caused the problem.
I'm lying low. I'm just not moving around.
I tell
much.
You, I know it made me think of. I realize these medical people. I don't know where they come up with these drugs and all this. I remember I had to do a colonoscopy, and you know, I would only do.
I gotta do one this year.
Yeah, I tried it one time.
Well, look, here's what the point I want to make.
What stopped me was when he said, "We're going up in there." I said, "Going up in there."
Look, they gave me
explain that phrase.
Do you remember they gave me a malt, and they said, "We want you to drink this, you know, and it'll clean you out, you know." So I'm in the bed. I take a swig. I'm telling you, within 5 seconds, like I got to find a commode.
It took me
and it literally lifted me off the commode seat, the power, and I thought, what kind of deranged mind came up with something?
The same kind of mind.
Immediately.
That you can be awake and asleep at the same time. That's what kind of mind.
So we got Valentine's Day coming up. And so, you know, I know it's a really important day for Dad.
It's my favorite holiday. The payoff on Valentine's Day for a married couple, it's the best. It's the best.
We should love our wives every day, of course.
Yeah.
But Valentine is kind of a special day for the women, I would think.
Or
what are you talking about? I'm getting a lot out of it myself.
Or it's a made-up holiday for, as Jay says, some special loving, or just to sell a lot of merchandise. Whatever reason, I've been going with it for years.
I don't see the downside.
It's not a downside.
Getting flowers to women.
All right, so here's another good idea. Our good friends at Black Rifle Coffee Company say, get them some coffee. Who doesn't love delicious coffee?
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. Do you think that'll work, Jay? For your woman?
I mean, for the morning after? I don't know how I can play that gift. I mean, I'm going to have to think about this.
We might want to combine that with something else. But, you know, who doesn't?
I think it could be good because, you know, this day you pretty much got everything going for you because they think this is supposed to happen.
That's right. Well, maybe I should appeal this to our female listeners. If you're wondering where to get your man, then here's a good man gift.
Now, see, I like that better.
Yeah. Now, that might work.
So we're going to tell our women out there, get you some good Black Rifle. We like the heavy duty. So, you know, I got to make sure Lisa knows I want the double black murdered out what we like.
You know what I could do? Awesome. But you could have the coffee in the package that you give her, like with the flowers, and say, after this crazy night, I'm going to need this.
Yeah.
That could work. So, look,
that's excitement and adventure all rolled up in one. She's like, ooh.
And look, the Black
Rifle. I must admit, I haven't thought about that.
The James. Black Rifle Coffee guys will be right with you, Jace, because these guys are veterans. All of them is a veteran-based company and owned company, so we love what these guys represent. They call it freedom-filled coffee, which I'm all about. So,
you're combining two of the greatest things, the greatest sex.
The coffee has a great flavor, so it's a win-win.
Look what you're combining, the greatest sex on earth, which is God's sanction between a married couple, and then you have coffee, which, I mean, you drink coffee all day.
Black coffee.
So take the coffee, give her a gift, and you're going to have to add some flowers or something for her.
Yeah, do something for her.
Part of the country, that ought to rule.
So look, we're encouraging you to wake up to America. We're calling it America's Coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com, blackriflecoffee.com/feel. You enter your discount code of Phil. You receive 20% off your first order of any of the coffee products. They've got a Black Rifle Coffee Club, which is a year-long thing you can sign up for. They'll send you whatever coffee you like, or if you want to try different stuff, they do that as well. We love their coffee. That's what we're drinking right here on the Unashamed Podcast, and we encourage you to do that. Do it for your men. Do it for your wife. Just make sure you put something Philly in there too.
No, I did tell that guy, I said, let me tell you something. Where are you from? He said, Mississippi. So he's from a little town over in Mississippi. I'd say he's about 45 years old. I'll give him a little plug here. Reed's his name. But I told Reed, I said, Reed, after what you just did on a man's eyeball, I said, by the way, he had a little mole and he was showing me how this works. And when he explained how vision takes place and what happens with your eyeball.
Let me guess, you get the saltwater speed.
I looked down at that mole. I said, I don't know what department it was out there in saltwater that dreamed up an eyeball. I said, but Reed, I'm not buying it.
I did a lesson one time.
He said, you sound like that old Ben Carson. because he's a brain surgeon. He said, if you look at a human brain and an eyeball, he said, you will say, no.
Oh, I did an evidence, make this. An oh, yeah. evidence study on the eyeball. I mean, this is the most sophisticated lens in the world. You think of all the cameras, and all, nothing compares to the eyeball.
I mean, the nerve cross each other in your
head. I tell you what, I'll look
this
that
one goes
up.
Over to the other side, and that one goes. I mean,
I'll bring that up at our next time we do a podcast and give you some facts on the eyeball. I mean, it's like
I'd like to see.
We need
incredible.
That.
Incredible. I mean, I did a
now. Lesson. I'm looking at that Bible. I can read it from this distance. It's just as clear as it can be. And I'm telling y'all, I hadn't had that kind of vision in a decade.
I know. It's
why
amazing.
I waited so long? I don't know.
Well, it just till it got worse. Let me tell you. You brought Ben Carson. I met Ben Carson. Zach and I did.
I've met him
and
myself.
It's one of my favorite lines ever. It's so funny. It just shows how brilliant the man is. So we met him, and there were a little group of us down there, and he said, you know, he closed his eyes when he talks, you know, and he was like.
He's a soft-spoken gentleman.
A lot of people ask me, a lot of the press, would I be able to handle an agency as big as the Housing Urban Development? Would I have the gravitas to be able to run an organization like that? And he said, and I told them, well, it's not brain surgery.
Because he was a brain surgeon.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I got so tickled. And he just said it like, you know, it's the typical Carson fashion. Yeah. But I mean, we laughed and hee-hawed. You talk about a brilliant man.
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome.
Good man.
Well, so, I thought about, and everybody is, you know, I'm looking at some of these emails we get in, but everybody's asking. Oh, I had a lot of people asking about what I think about this coronavirus and, you know, what if the world, you know, the world, it doesn't take much for the world to go into just sheer panic.
Meltdown mode.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they're talking about, which is, look, it's tragic. They think it started from bats in China. And there's some people got it, and people have lost their life, which, you know, who knows the stats. But somebody had an interesting article that I read that last year, just in the U.S., 34,000 people died from the flu, the normal flu. And I don't know what the numbers on the coronavirus is, but they hadn't reached 34,000 people yet. No, you know?
That we know of, right?
Yeah. But it made me think of, you know, Matthew 8 and 9. Jesus was going from one disease and one sick person and one situation after another and having the power to heal them. And so when you think of all that, the panic that starts, and look, we all get sick and we have eye surgeries and we, you know, I know in the back of my mind, no matter what happens, we have something better than a miracle. You know, we have the one who is able to control the atoms and the molecules just like that. That did make me think, I mean, not to you know, take light of people losing their lives, and you have different strains of viruses and all that, which I think is from the evil one, honestly. But I thought, who's naming these things? You know? I mean, is there somebody, where do they, I don't know, I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Something as simple as, Joe, what we're going to call this one?
Well, yeah, because I thought, well, they named the last.
Was he drinking a Corona beer?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, well, the last one, they named SARS, which sounds
bad, like AIDS.
Well, yeah. Right. That was like 10, 15 years ago. And this one, there's like, in my mind, I thought, they named it coronavirus? I mean, to me, that's like, there's three people in a room. They're in charge of naming new diseases. And they haven't had one in so long. You know, they're not prepared. And somebody's like, hey, we need to name this. And they look around and they see a, you know, a Corona bottle. And it's like, coronavirus. Because I noticed something. You know, my wife and I have been to a lot of different countries, and I've noticed there's always two things in all countries: Coca-Cola and the signs that go along with it, and Corona.
Is that right?
Every country you go, there's a Corona sign and a Coca-Cola sign.
That's why they call it Corona, meaning it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I guess that's what they mean.
It says here, so I look, this is just one thing, you know, it is on the internet. It says, the virus's temporary designation 2019-nCoV is neither catchy nor pithy. So I guess somebody just started. Often the virus is simply called coronavirus. I guess because it's got a COV in it, maybe? So I guess it's just a nickname.
You have to name it something.
Well, if I give you a
2019 COV was just wasn't, you know.
I haven't looked up the root word for cataract. You know, you have a cataract. But
until you told me that, I had no idea what that meant.
It's a foggy lens.
I was imagining like some sort of something had grown on your eye.
That's what I thought.
That's what I always thought when I heard cataract.
This was like your lens is cloudy.
And they put a new lens on, basically.
Put a new lens.
Just like a camera, just like our camera guys.
I mentioned that Matthew 8, you know, in the first section, he healed a guy with leprosy. You know, and it was a funny line because when he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, you know, reached out and said, oh, I'm willing. Be clean. And then in the next section, he healed someone who was paralyzed and they were going through terrible suffering. That was in verse 5. And then in verse 14, there was a woman lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And when he got to chapter 9, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think it's an excellent point. In Acts 9, he heals, another paralytic. And he says this, at the same time, the teachers of the law, verse 3, said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming, because when he came up to the paralytic, he said, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, blasphemer, you can't forgive someone's sins. And so then in verse 4, it says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? I love that question, which for the average man, we can say neither. You know, unless you're a doctor and you perform some procedure and, you know, you can say get up and walk, but it's going to take some time. He meant immediately. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, which he's already forgiven him of his sins, but then he said, well, since you'll know why I have that authority, he said, get up, take your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. And my point is, the reason I love that story is Jesus put more emphasis on your sins being removed. Because if you don't have any sin, you can have an eternal relationship with God, because he has no sin. And then he kind of shows them why he's healing people. He's healing people so that you know that he has the authority to also forgive your sins, which is the greater issue with man.
Right. All right, so we're excited. Dad's favorite holiday is coming up, Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was your favorite.
I'm on pins and needles just thinking about it.
Because we know, you know, how heartfelt Valentine's Day is for you to always find just the right gift for Miss Kay.
I don't know where that came from, Valentine's Day.
It's just a reason to get it on with your woman.
Like we need a reason for that.
Well, I'm saying I can count on one day of a year that no matter what happens, we usually get that right.
You know, I just wonder who dreamed up Valentine's Day.
I'm just telling you.
Well, it's a Saint Valentine. I don't know. It's a great history. Well, anyway, so for Dad, Dad's not a big Valentine's Day person. You can get our tongue in cheek. But, you know, I get Lisa something. You get Missy something?
I just said always.
Okay, good.
So the payoff is.
Well, you said the back end. I was just wondering about the.
I'm shopping on that day.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So I got something for you here, and we'll have to do it for Dad because this is have to go online to get this, Dad. So there's a company called the Books Company, Bouks.
Books.
Books. I guess.
Like Books. Boutiques.
Yeah, like Books. Bouquet. Like
a bouquet of flowers,
but it's just Bouks.
Books. So how do you spell it?
So Bouks.
Books,
in a bouquet of flowers. Oh, so good. Be the Books, right?
Okay.
So you can go onto their website and you can order flowers.
There you go.
See? For Miss K.
Look, Phil, just think it's going to save you time because now you don't have to go pick them like I know you do. You know.
Ever since they couldn't count all the votes in Iowa and they got the greatest computerized machine ever, I'd say it will not save you time to get on the internet and order flowers, but now maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrong on this one.
You can order flowers via the internet.
You can do it.
And then you got to stop in the ditch.
Amazing.
You see, you right now you're a ditch stopper for flowers.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Order today. You get 25% off your entire purchase if you go to books.com/Phil, which I always love that, /Phil, mm-hmm. books.com, books.com/Phil. You get 25% off if you use Phil in the code. And look, you're going to get some fresh flowers right to your door. Mm-hmm. According to Jace, it could be the best day of the year for you.
No, it is.
Getting flowers to women so they're happier. Has to be a great idea.
It's a great idea. Women love flowers, and it smells good.
If you can't pull this off, I
didn't know these things.
Yeah.
So you need to tell Dan to get on his black box and order.
Get someone with a computer.
Exactly. Yeah. And you got it.
And so we'll get ready. Hey, later on that night.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Hey.
There you go. Books.com/Phil, 25% off. Get on it today. I think you're right.
You know, if you created the human race by just from dirt, and you breathe life into it, and here comes the human race, it would be no problem with disease, microbes, ailments of all
sorts. It's not a problem at all. He doesn't consider it a problem.
Look, if it makes sense. We were made in God's image. We people can be trained well enough, being made in God's image. They can restore your sight.
Right.
I mean, they can do mighty things. Humans can.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you're made in God's image, He gave you the ability to create cures, vaccines, viruses, eyesight, you know, these blind, two blind men were sitting by the roadside when they heard that Jesus was going by. They shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. "Shut up out there, quit hollering at him." But they shouted all the louder. I mean, they're blind. Yeah. They're reaching.
They're just hoping. Yeah.
So, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them, and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know, like Jesus didn't know what they wanted to do. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him.
Right.
So you look at these stories and you say, having gone through eye surgery in the last 3 or 4 days, you say, man, what about an individual who could just do it instantaneously?
Right.
Because this didn't take but 20 minutes.
Right.
Man being made in God's image, he gave him the ability to help their fellow man with the removal of all kinds of ailments and sicknesses and all of that.
It's interesting. So you go over to Mark, I think it's Mark 7 or Mark 8, and there's a guy there, and he's blind, and Jesus makes a little mud patty.
Yeah.
He spits, and he makes a little mud patty, puts it on his eyes, then he takes them off, and he said, "Can you see?" And he says, "Well, I can see, but the people look like trees."
He was
like you, looking, trying to figure.
Yeah.
So then he touched him a second time. I was like, "Oh, there it is. It cleared up." So, which I've always thought was one of the most, you know, weird healings ever.
It's bizarre. Healing.
So obviously he was trying to, the way I teach that is that in that context, he's trying to get Peter to see what he's trying to tell him. And it's like, sometimes you got to get a second touch to understand. I don't think Jesus had a power outage.
Yeah.
He was always teaching, you know what I'm saying?
God doesn't make accidents. You know what I mean?
But he's got him where he's looking at trees walking around like people, and the guy says, "I don't know about this."
But it sounds like a little fine too. So here, let me.
"Hey, what about now?" You know,
and I was
spit on your fingers and say, "What about now?" "Oh, that cleared her up there."
Which to me was always one of those.
And you think about it, and then being promised glorified bodies where none of this illnesses, sicknesses, tears, the problems you run into, you know, on your journey, on your journey in life, not knowing whether you'll live for the next 15 minutes or not.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know, my deal is most people, if they get diagnosed with some dreadful disease or Well, then all of a sudden they start, you know, then they want to come to Jesus. It's like they have the sickness that leads them the sinful, you know, behavior, which is there's a tie in there, and I think they get it backwards. You know, if you realize that God has forgiven you and you have God's Spirit, so you're going to be raised from the dead. It's guaranteed. I mean, there's 100 verses that say that. Then why are we that worried, or why are we in pursuit of, you know, these physical miracles? I've never figured it out. I'm like, well, you have something greater than that.
Yeah.
Now, in James 5, which is later on in our Bible, and we're dealing with people who are in Jesus, and he has some scenarios for, okay, you remember at the end where it says, yeah, if we do this at our church today,
yep.
Which a lot of people are like, what's going on? We did one Sunday.
Yeah.
It says, if anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church. This is James 5:14, to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. But here's my point. The next verse says, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. My point is, it comes back to the greater issue is your faith and your spiritual condition of your heart and your relationship with God. Because so what if the elders, you know, anoint you with oil and you are healed? You could go around and say, it's a miracle. It happened. That's not going to change anybody's life.
Right.
They'll be like, okay, have another one on me. But let's say it really did happen, because we've seen it happen.
Sure.
But we don't go around and preach that. We preach Jesus for the remission of sins, because that is the greater point. That is the point where everything else flows.
Yeah, it's not wrong to pray for the miracle. It's wrong to think the miracle in and of itself is a bigger deal. And to prove your point, the young woman you're talking about happens to be my niece. She and her husband have really been struggling spiritually. And so guess what has happened in their lives as a result of finding out you have breast cancer? It galvanizes that, wait a minute, we need to make sure we're right with the Lord. We're doing the right thing. So to your point, even though she's praying for healing, and we are for her, the spiritual side mm-hmm. is much more open, which brings a bigger question. So is disease and suffering and all the stuff we're talking about, is this from God? Is it from Satan? Does God allow it? Does he cause it? Those are the questions people ask. Because you go back to Genesis.
Well, I always say, I think it's of the evil one, because he uses... You have many examples of where he afflicted mm-hmm. someone. You know, you think of Job. Remember, right. He had the sores on him, and God said, "Don't you can do anything but kill him." And so he did it. He killed his family. He gave him the disease.
Right.
So I think he's the culprit. Now, whether God allows, you know, you have where Paul says, you know, the Lord allowed for me to have the thorn in my flesh, mm-hmm. but it says a messenger of Satan sent to torment me. So whether it allows it for us to get our head straight.
Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't take it away from Paul. Yeah. Of course, another one.
I think that it happens. I think our faith is tested
right.
in many ways.
Right.
And that's one of them.
And I think he uses that in the broad sense.
You know, if he performed a miracle, and if you saw one every 15 minutes, you would still have to believe that Jesus died for your sins and was buried and raised from the dead.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't change the message and right. where your faith is rooted, what it's rooted in.
Yeah.
Well, he healed this one, he healed that one. You're like, I would still have to put my faith in his death, the blood that removed my sins, being redeemed, the power of the Spirit given to me.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, you brought up Job, Jason. When you think about mm-hmm. it, Job was questioning, because he's trying to figure out why this happened. So Job's mindset, what he believed, and we know this because his three dopey friends showed up, started making speeches, and that's what the whole book is about. And they're trying to figure out what Job did wrong to deserve the punishment he was receiving from God. That was their view of God. They was like, well, you
bound to messed
you
up somewhere.
Messed up somehow. And so they just made speech after speech after speech. And finally, at the end of the book, Job is just like twisted in knots. And he's like, I don't. And you read Job 31. He's like, well, here's who I am. And you read that chapter and think, man, I want to be that guy. He was an amazing man, which is why God trusted him. But at the end of the day, God says, are you me? And then he has the little, who are you?
Yeah.
And he was like, you're not me. So you need to just keep trusting and button up. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. And that's exactly what Job did. At the end of the day, he said, you know what? You're right. I'm not you. And then God says he restored his health. He restored. He got, you know, he had more children. There was restoration. But there was always the loss. And God never told him why. I mean, he didn't in the book.
Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned testing. The testing of one's faith.
That's right.
That's a good example.
It's a great example.
Well, I don't know why this story popped in my head, because I don't think it's exactly the same thing, but I think their response is the same. In Daniel 3, you remember the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just wanted to share what it says in Daniel 3. You know, they come to King Nebuchadnezzar and they say, you know, these guys won't. They're not bowing down and worshiping the idols.
The idols they're supposed to.
So it says, furious with rage, he makes this announcement that if you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up, we will, you know, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. But their response is what I think our response should be when it comes to anything physical and anything happens to us.
Anything challenges our life, because that's where they were at.
They said, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, this is verse 17, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. So you think, well, they're just like, go ahead. It's not going to hurt us. But then they say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. Of course, we remember what happens. Of course, that got them immediately in the furnace. They turned it up, and then they look down there, and they're like, well, wait a minute. There's four.
Somebody showed up.
And they're walking around in the fire. I love that story. It's like Jesus showed up. But what about some faith? I mean, they basically said, he's able to save us. And that's the way I view any kind of physical condition. God, at any moment, can just go, boop, you're well. We just read it, Matthew 8, not any condition. He just, from mud pies to, but if not, they're like, doesn't matter. I mean, we're fine. We're not worshiping you. We know, because him being the miracle worker is greater than us bowing down to you, a mere sinful man, and worshiping an image of
with
God.
A miraculous purpose, whether it was in that era before Jesus got here physically or it was in Jesus' era, was always to point people to God.
That's right.
Or to Christ.
But
so
how do we miss that in religion? You know, you hear all these songs and it's almost, I mean, I cringe. Missy always punches me every time I hear these people, like, they're like, hey, we're here today for a miracle. And I'm like, I got something better than that. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here for the miracle. I'm not chasing the miracle, and religious people get upset because they're like, well, do you believe in miracles? I'm like, well, of course I believe in miracles.
Sure.
Because God is the miracle worker, but there's something more important to that. And what he did through his miracles, which coming back from the dead is really the only miracle that,
It was the Trump miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
President Trump, the Trumper miracle.
Once that miracle happened, that pretty well superseded anything that could happen to me on earth. Because in the end, no matter if he cures my ailments or not, I'm coming back from the dead. So who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, oh, you got cancer. You have 3 weeks to live. All right, I'll be back. I mean, whether it's healed or it's not. And like we say, we don't mind pursuing prayer. And we've seen some miraculous thing, unexplainable things happen. Right. But we don't go around and say, let me tell you this story. That's what bothers me in the religious world. Everybody's telling the stories of the people being healed, and they're leaving out Jesus, who's better than that.
Right.
He has the power of doing that.
Yeah.
So, which is maybe semantics, but I think it's an important point.
Well, it's interesting because when you fast forward from Daniel 3, you were talking about, to the New Testament, here's Acts 7, you know, a new Christian, a fiery, you know, man of God, Stephen, and he's just standing up for what he believes in, and God allowed them to pick up stones and kill him. He didn't stop him.
No.
He never asked, but he was living that same thing you're talking about. He was ready to go either way. And in fact, at the end, he looks up into heaven and says, all right, here we go. You know, we're ready for the ride. And so, that, you know, it just shows
that's
you.
That's the formal introduction of the Apostle Paul.
That's right.
Who would be later struck down on the guy holding their clothes for him, whatever, while they're stoning Stephen to death.
He was the leader there.
And here stands old Saul. He's standing there watching it, and that's how God introduced him. That's what kind of guy he was. That's by the way, he said later on in some of his writings to Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Now watch. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, i.e. Stephen,
yep.
his introduction, that's what, and a violent man,
right.
He said, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. So there's a lot of ignorance out there and unbelief, especially when it comes down to the power of God.
Right.
He went on to say, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're back on his death on a cross,
right,
in the middle of this context of who I am. I'm the worst. He said, I'm sitting there holding people's clothes while they kill the sons and daughters of God. He said, here I am.
Did you?
And it's pretty amazing when you say what God can do. You're like, man.
Did you ever watch the movie The Apostle Paul?
I never watched it.
You got to watch it. You both have to watch it. It's on your DVR. Tell Mom to find it because I recorded it for you. It's what I love about the movie. Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion. You know,
was good.
And he's a hardcore Catholic believer, Caviezel. He's great. He plays the Apostle John in this movie. And then there's a guy that I never heard of before who plays Paul. But what I love about the movie is it's set right at the end of his life when they were about to kill him. And so the way the movie is set up is John comes in, he's kind of interviewing him because they know he's fixing to die. He's at the end of the house arrest, and you got all these believers running around. They're in Rome. Really, really well done. But here's what got me about the movie that you don't get in the Bible, but you imagine it to be real. And so the movie imagines it, that all the guilt that he faced. And so he, the whole time they're talking, he's thinking back to Stephen and to others that he persecuted.
If he was an admitted blasphemer, persecutor, and a violent man, he was, for to pick him.
Right.
To write most of the New Testament is pretty ironic.
Yeah, you need to watch that movie. I was blown away because I had not seen it until just fairly recently. I had heard about it, but I just never watched it because, you know, some of these movies are not great. But
I look back at my
me.
Past, Al, and I see a lot of ignorance and unbelief.
That's
you
exactly
say
right.
that was well said by him.
Yeah.
When I looked at that, I said, man,
I feel
there's
the same
a
way.
Picture of my past.
Exactly right. Mine too.
Well, it makes sense on, you know, you say, what's this got to do with the book of John? But you're going to get one miracle right after another. And when you try to dig into why Jesus was doing that, because you start seeing the stupidity of people's response. You remember in John 5 where he heals the guy and then they're like, well, wait a minute, you did that, but you healed him, but you told him to pick up his mat. It's the Sabbath. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was healed. Everybody should be like, it's a miracle. And they're like, well, yeah, that's all great, but now he has his mat that he was laying on for the last 40 years. And he's carrying it. We broke Sabbath.
It's work.
So I don't know who you think you are, Mr. Miracle Worker. But you just think how ridiculous
it's
that
stupid.
Is. And that's why I'm saying this. You might not think that's important, but when you get that out of whack on why Jesus used miracles, the big picture theme of what God's purpose is for us, if you get that out of whack, you'll be doing stunts like that. You remember, and another example is the next chapter in John 6 where he feeds 5,000 with the, what was it, five bread and two fish or yep. two fish and
it was two fish, five bread.
Yeah. So you're like, well, okay, all those people are going to believe. I mean, that'd been enough for me because as a fisherman and a guy who really likes good bread, because I guarantee you, if it's made from God Almighty.
This was divine scratch.
This was a manna from heaven. This is better than that, you know, that bread I was telling you about. I called you the other night. No, look, that me and Al were at some restaurant in Arizona.
Six years ago.
Yeah, and I just woke up in the middle of the night craving that bread. Look, it was in a black iron skillet. And
which
the
is
bread,
a good sign.
It's a good sign.
And look, this is funny. It was me, you, and Willie. We took a bite of that bread, and Willie said, waiter. And I was like, you know, Willie, you
this
never
is
know
like
what
a,
he's going to do.
It's a fancy restaurant.
He said, we want a reservation for tomorrow night. We hadn't even, we're 5 minutes into the meal.
We hadn't even had our other stuff.
Willie's like, we're coming back
and
here.
Chewing on the bread.
I said, good call.
Jason said, where was that restaurant we had the bread and the iron skillet? And I was like, where were we? You know, he's in Arizona. So I started looking, trying to find it.
We never did find it.
Somebody in Arizona, if you're watching, let us know. It's in Phoenix.
My point is Jesus, he does that. And then when they came to him, he said, you're not coming to me because you saw the miracle. You're coming to me because you want some more of that bread and fish.
That's right.
I mean, it was like, what can we get out of it? That's our mindset. It's like, we want God as an insurance policy. You know, in case something bad happens,
yeah,
maybe he can get me out of a tight spot.
Right.
But, or give me the benefits of having God on your side, which you just think people wouldn't think that.
Well, you're right, Jase. The book of John is basically seven miracles that Jesus does. And each one of them has a point beyond the miracle. Which is why John's such a unique approach to his story, because he doesn't just catalog Jesus' life like the other guys do. He was very purposeful in making sure here's a sign, here's what God did, here's what Jesus did, but here's what he meant. And you get to John 9, and we've talked about this before, there's a guy there that's blind, and so mm-hmm. as they're walking by him, the disciples say, oh, look at this poor sap, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically they tell Jesus, they said,
well, they're like, whose fault is it?
Yeah, whose sin caused him to be born blind? So yeah, they were going back to Job's friends of retribution, see?
But I was in the eye clinic, and when I walked in there, I saw one of the brothers over there, and he waved at me, and I went over there, and I told him, I said, he said, what you in here for? He said, 'cause we in here because, you know, my wife has a cataract. I said, yeah, me too. I said, every time I try to keep it as rare as possible, but every time I walk into one of these clinics or one of these medical outposts, you know, hooked on to the hospital, they fix a check. I said, every time I come into one of these places there, I said, look, the resurrection looms larger.
Yeah.
And look, when I said that, there was about an 85-year-old woman seated on my left, and she was like,
Well, it better.
Well, look, so Dad goes up to one of our, I think they're former members at our church, and he goes, I guess you recognize him. Dad shakes his hand, and he's like, you know, the age is creeping up on us.
Yeah.
And the guy looked all like Dan was telling me the story. He looked like what? And then he said, well, what'd you say? And he said, I thought you said AIDS is creeping up.
Oh, because you were in the hospital.
Yeah, he thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, not me. You know, he's looking at Dad like that was crazy. I was like,
well, that's what happens when you get old.
That's right.
Nobody can understand what the heck you're saying.
Well, that's right.
You can't
and
hear.
Nobody can hear.
You can't see.
Look, this is the
old
first
age
year.
Is creeping in. He said, what?
Oh, he thought old AIDS was creeping in. Well, look, this is the first year in the duck blind where, look, on several occasions, I would be like, all right, here they come on the right. Y'all get ready. And when I look down, everybody's just like this. Nobody heard what I just said.
But he's 20 feet away looking down at the floor, and there's six men in between you and the speaker, and he's saying, y'all get out right quick. I said, I think they're just saying that because they're saying, well, we alerted y'all. You just didn't hear us.
So look, the next day, and we had this argument. The next day, I'll just look up some ducks. It literally sounded like a plane crash. It just, and I heard splash, 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 splash. I said, "In the decoys." And look, Phil went, "Crank, crank, crank, crank." He blew the. I'm looking. I'm like, "They're in the decoys," because you're trying to be quiet. Then they get up. Everybody's like, "Why didn't you say something?" I'm like, "Oh boy."
It took me back that time.
Whereas the more the years go by, it's kind of like when you the guy down on one end. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're trying to be quiet, so you're trying to pass a word down the line. So
we've got old men with hundreds of thousands of rounds shot next to their head.
We were telling a couple years ago, and Jay said, And so I saw it. There were two teal that went by. We had teal. Bah, 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 bah. And Dad's like, he's on the other end. He said, "How many?" And he's like, "Bang, bang, bang." You know, nobody said anything. He said, "How many?" And nobody said anything. He said, "How many?"
Yeah.
And then we all fell out laughing because he was mad because we were ignoring. He thought we were ignoring
him. But we were trying to be quiet.
Yeah. Well, so I guess this is what we call this, the medical episode.
Well, no, I think we needed to introduce the idea. I mean, you're not going to be able to go through the book of John and handle all the miracles without
understanding
getting the reason it. And in our own lives, we look up. I mean, look, every other day you have some kind of medical condition by somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I think the lesson that we should learn from our little conversation this morning, you got the Apostle Paul. He said, "I have this thorn in my flesh. I've asked the Lord to remove it." I mean, Jesus struck him down personally, gave him a job. You're going to reach the Jews first, then the Gentiles, turn them from Satan to faith in me. And he knew he was as close as you can get to God. And he said, "I have this thorn in my flesh." It was some kind of ailment.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, "No." He said, I'll just leave you
with that.
Well,
I think there he was
making up. My grace is sufficient. That's right. So my take on that is this. If you believe there's a resurrection of the dead, if you really believe that, whether it be cataracts on the eyes, in my case, my ailments have been kidney stone, prostate, and my eyes. That's it. Everything else, rock on. So I'm thinking I'm very fortunate.
We are.
Two or three things, which weren't that big a deal. I take it all whether they said, "Well, you've got incurable cancer." I would say, "Bless the Lord because of the resurrection."
That's right.
Because any way you look at it, all, it's going to come down to that.
Exactly.
Heal you and he may not. But either way, there's a bigger picture is what I was trying to do. What we experience in Jesus, what he did on the cross and his resurrection, trumps everything.
It does.
And we find in our weakness sometimes, and when we're really low, that is where God's power flourishes. When you see
I see mighty acts and people that they say, like the little kid a few years back, his last wish was to see me. We went around. I took him around on a tractor, and the little kid is still with us. And they said, it's incurable. He's gone.
Yeah.
Well, he's still running around on planet Earth. And I look at you, so how'd that make you feel? I said, well, it didn't trump the resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
Because the little kid, hopefully he'll live a ripe old age, you say, but he's still going to have to have the
resurrection of Jesus. Well, and guess what else? God may just call you up like he did Elijah. I mean, you may just be. I've kind of, in the back of my mind, I'd like to go that way.
Like a whirlwind.
I'm just walking in the woods, squirrel hunting.
Yeah.
And just, shoo, shoo, I'm like, whoa, where am I headed? What's
yeah.
Like, come on up here. Son.
He has done it before.
Yeah. So.
Well, so anyway, good episode. I want to thank all the listeners and watchers. Our podcast is growing, which means you're telling people about it, and we thank you for that. Keep your questions coming in. I'll remind you of two things. One is, if you want to follow Dad around and see what his life is like outside of the podcast, Blaze TV has a show called In the Woods with Phil, so check that out. Also, Jason and I and some other guys at church, of course, Dad does a church plant. We're preaching through the book of John, WFRchurch.org. So if you're not plugged into any place on Sunday, you want to live stream it and check out what we're doing. Jason and Missy do the worship as well, so check that out. So just a couple of resources for you. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time on Unashamed. We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes, and it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.